don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your host, Boyd and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back.
I gotta do right before they call me home.
Good evening, and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back show. Today is April 11th, 2011. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And our topic is, as always, the streets don't love you back. Join us live every Wednesday night with real people, real stories, and real changes as we hear the truth about gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. We have a great show for you tonight. We have Mrs. Peaches Sherelle Cottigan, and she's coming to us all the way from London, and she hasn't called in yet. I'm waiting for her call in. It's like 4:30 in the morning out there, I believe, so we're going to give her a little bit of time to come on the show, and we'll just watch for her. Before I do that, let me welcome Boyd to the show.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, thank everybody for coming and joining us every week, and we just asking everybody to continue supporting the movement and supporting the radio show, and, you know, we just thank you, and don't forget to join the movement, streetsandloveyouback.meme.com, and we'll go to our song, and we'll wait for our guests.
All right. Let me get back over to my other screen here real quick, and we'll do that, and we will play Streets Don't Love You Back. Stay tuned.
Yeah, yeah, this the Streets Don't Love You Back. We dedicate this to all the youths across America, all those who've been abandoned by their parents and loved ones. We let you know that God is good, always. Even when no one else cares, he's there for you.
Oh,
keep your head up.
Oh, hey.
The streets don't love you back. I hear grinding in a life of crime. The streets don't love you back. There's only one rule, baby, I don't get mine. The streets don't love you back. There's only one way on this lonely road. The streets don't love you back. Gotta do right before they call me home. The streets don't
never love you.
This is Rob Boyd checking in to let you know the streets will never ever love you back.
When I was abandoned
by my father in this world,
when I was abandoned
by the man that I thought loved me,
it took my whole life in another direction, my mind. How can you say that you love me in this world? Never did nothing for me or my mama or my sister in this world. How can you look at yourself and be proud of what you've done? Now I say to myself, as a little child, I went to the street world and I had to learn that it didn't love me back. Now I look at life so much in a different frame, my mind. Now I know the streets will never love me back. I thank God for what he done for me, 'cause I listen to my mama in this world. Now I tell all the children, all the little boys and girls, the streets will never love you, will never love you back.
The streets don't love you back. I hear grinding in a life of crime. The streets don't love you back. There's only one rule, baby, I'ma get mine. The streets don't love you back. There's only one way on this lonely road.
The streets
don't love you back. Gotta do right before they call me home.
I know I can't change the way your young mind thinks, and I know you wanna lounge, smoke weed and drink, and I really ain't all the type to give a speech or preach, but I promise God that I would do this if he get me out the streets. See, when I was coming up, motherfuckers was loyal, but now they cracking under pressure when the situation boils. and comes to a head. Another fork in the road. Everyone got affidavits, show they Cody's toe. They wasn't scared to do the crime, but now these motherfuckers cowards. The county was one thing, but now it's no more private showers. It's all in the open. Better learn to be a man. Fuck all the pistol popping, yapping. Should've learned to use your hands. Went from pod storms to day rooms to mess halls and rec yards. You think you're something special, everybody's got it hard. Penitentiary ain't like it is on TV. And a fair joint is something hope you never have to see. I don't care how tough you think you are to humble your ass. They got a room especially for you just to beat your ass. Shit sad, it's hard, raced by the streets with no dad. But going life or death impression ain't gonna never change the past, cuz.
Yeah, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, I like to dedicate this track to my mother, my brothers, my sister, to my man LD, his wife Holly, to my manager Lucinda, to my two sons, Michael and Robert. Dedicate this to my homeboys, the Bishop Crew off Van Eyck and Harper, the Brewster Project, my man Chickaria, Warner County Project, 430 Crew, Day and Fab, rest in peace. Let's do this. You live on through my vision. The streets don't love you back. One of your own made it. Now we tell the world, the streets will never love you back. Change your ways. Change your ways. Change your ways.
And welcome back to the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show. And gosh, we're still waiting for her to call in. I know we talked about it, and unless something happened, I know, like I said, it's 4:30 back in London. So we want to go ahead and remind everybody to get your books, The Streets Don't Love You Back and Never Had a Woman. And you can get those on our website at thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com, or you can put thestreetsdontloveyouback.com and it should just reroute you right to our website. Again, the Streets Don't Love You Back movement is striving to educate the youth about the dangers of gangs, drugs, and violence, and to let them know that there's plenty of groups out here that are here to help them to be able to get over whatever they're going through, whether it's gangs, drugs, violence, sexual abuse, extortion, whatever's going on out there in your life as a young adult or youth, you know, we're here, and if we don't know, we'll direct you in the right direction to be able to get you some help. So we want everybody to know that we're live every Wednesday night. You can contact us any time of the week on our website, our emails, with our Facebook. We're pretty good about checking everything that we have and keeping up with things. So just know that we're here. Contact us, and we'll try to get you pointed in the right direction. Rob?
Yes, we thank everybody once again. And like the missus said, we're waiting on our guests. So we're going to go to a couple commercials and keep the show rolling.
Okay. Let me find one here. Hold on. I got so many pages open here trying to do everything. Let's do this one.
I went to a party one night. We were all snorting lines, and this guy came up behind me, and he, said, "Hey, let's go back here. I know what we can do." And he grabbed me, and I was already high, and I got raped. My name is Jen. I'm 15 years old. I started doing meth when I was 11 years old. Kept saying no, and he wouldn't stop. And I just kind of cried afterwards, and he gave me an 8-ball, and I just said, okay, that was worth it. And then that's when I started selling my body for meth. I know a lot of my friends said, you're going to get addicted really bad and real quick. And I just kept saying, no, I'm not addicted. And it kind of just turned out that I wanted it every day. And I did really stupid things. I sold myself, and I stole from people, and I cheated people. I don't know anyone who's quit using meth after they've tried it a couple times or just once.
Brought to you by the Meth Project.
All right, and we are back with the Streets Don't Love You Back. We're going to wait a little while longer. We do have a couple of people that I know will be calling in here shortly. Just as listeners and guests, and we'll be able to talk to them a little bit about some things that are going on. We had an awesome show last week with with Barefoot Pookie White out of L.A., one of the OGs from the original Crips. And, you know, if you missed that show, catch it on our radio page. It's an, you know, awesome show. As, you know, all the shows that we have, they're very informative, educational, and, you know, like I said, we're here to tell these stories, to be able to educate, you know, not only the youth, but a lot of adults out here in our communities that, you know, may have not ever been around anything like we're talking about, or just maybe not aware of it. And then there are those who have lived that life and maybe don't know how to change or how to get help. So our movement's here to help. Educate and to try to be able to help all those out there. Boyd?
Yeah, once again, you know, we're just delighted that we're able to do what we do and we're able to give back and help others. So, you know, we're just going to keep the show rolling. We ain't going to talk you too much. You know, we're going to go to a few commercials and then we're going to be right back.
Okay, so those of you that are just joining us, please hold on. We're still waiting for our guest. If not, we are going to talk to our faithful listeners. So we love you guys for always calling in and chatting with us. And we're going to go to another commercial and maybe another song, and then we'll get back to you and we'll continue. And then if she calls in, we'll just break into that. Here we go.
The first time I did meth, I was with my best friend and his mom. I had no idea what it was going to actually end up doing to my life. My name is Russell. I'm 19 years old. I started doing meth when I was 14. I've started at least three people that I know on meth, and where they're at right now, they're probably either in jail or I know one's dead. I went from a pretty good student to a dropout. I've ruined relationships. I've stolen from people. My family. I've physically abused them. I mean, the list just goes on. I've wasted a lot of time. I've gone from a person who had enormous potential to a person that had absolutely no potential because I chose to pick Little White Rock over everything else.
Brought to you by the Arizona Meth Project.
Yeah. This is B-O-Y-D and Struggle coming straight at you, baby. Much love to my homeboys up in Detroit off Van Nuys Harbor. Much love goes out to my homeboys in Cincy that's always kept it real. And to the player haters, this goes out to you.
No need to look any further. Look like brother, what you thought? Boy, wreck is knocking you out like rubber, touching does it go. Made you pull up with this northern exposure. Smoking doja, and I'm coming on the real. Yes, the real, I thought I told ya. And I'm keeping it to your pleasure just like HIV. Stand away from all them player hating people with degrees. It's time to come up. Why do you better not run up? Because you put your faith and your plans into another man's hand. That move is bogus. Struggle's here to let you know this. That you never ever be a part of the dope. Who put your faith in the spot? Who cooled it off when it was hot? Who made it live when it was? Now you can't even speak. It's time to nut check. Time for respect. Time to break neck. You wanted out for family. Now it's time for you to check. And you chasing waterfalls that wasn't meant, fool. In other words, you played yourself. Now who's cool? Hey, yo, you played yourself. No, you played yourself. Hey, yo, you played yourself. You played yourself. Hey, yo, you played yourself. Wait a minute. You played yourself because you didn't play the cards that was dealt. Partner, you played yourself. You tried to engage yourself with some people who didn't have no freaking wealth. So hide your health. Ain't nothing good gonna come out your freaking game. Cause everything you do bad gon' come back twice the pain. Who's to blame? Listen to your black brain. About to shake the ground for all you black stabbing people in this town. I'm known to bring the anger, make you hit like a snake. Here's a hit from my partner.
Break it down in your face.
Hey, yo, I'm making it back up in you. Do dissect you like a chemist. You played yourself, and I was a witness. Your career's finished. Don't be misled by the words that I speak. I keep it real. You had a taste of both sides. Not how it feels.
Hey, yo, you played yourself.
No, you played yourself.
I said you played yourself.
You played yourself.
Hey, yo, you played yourself.
Wait a minute. You played yourself. Cause you didn't play the cards that was dealt.
You can be as good as the best of them and bad as the worst of them. But don't test me, brother. No, brother, don't test me, no.
You be like that bitter dick on the backstabbing brother behind my back. But in my face, you be like Struggle, yo. Where the party at? I be like push on. Get out my face, partner. Cause ain't no love lost and ain't no love here neither. I can't believe that you
hate. Get it straight, buddy, you played yourself.
No, you played yourself.
Hey, yo, you played yourself.
You played yourself.
You played yourself.
Wait a minute, you played yourself. Cause you didn't play the cards that was dealt. Brother, relax your mind and let your conscience be free. Get down to the sounds of struggling I'll be. Your negativity be struggling against my surface. Cause the things that I did for you, your ass can deserve it. Now I'm on some payback for the things you did like way back. Answering all your questions like my name was Bat Sajak. Jesus had 12 disciples and one wasn't true. And he knew, like I knew, I never ever should have messed with you. So I'm gonna do what I gotta do and then some. If a brother try to flex, I take his life for ransom. Even when I'm by myself, I roll with a crew of soldiers, sick and fluid though. Known to turn your body black and blue, I told you, why did you test it? I'm the one who put you on. See, if it wasn't for me, you'd be like a mobile phone or wrong cheek. It ain't no me and us, it ain't no he and we. I thought we would be together like OJ and AC. You were that brother I pull a trigger for. You a freaking beard for. Now you just that off-brand nigga roll. You played yourself. No, I said you played yourself. Hey, yo, you played yourself. No, partner, you played yourself.
Hey, yo, you played yourself.
Wait a minute, you played yourself. Cause you didn't play the cards that was dealt.
You can be as good as the best of them and bad as the worst of them. But don't test me, brother. No, brother, don't test me, no.
Why did you test me, gangster? I told you don't ever tempt me. But now I gotta come at you for real now. You should've kept it real. But when you don't keep it real, situations sometimes get hectic in your life. But you should've understood. So why did you play yourself, player? I look at you all the time when you don't think I see you. I see you. Our boys up north, baby. We got our own way of dealing with player haters.
Come on. Bring it in. Come on.
And I don't think you should ever deal with you.
Okay, welcome back to the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show. We're still waiting for our caller. I just texted her, so hopefully nothing, you know, happened to her. But like I said, it's about 4:30 out in London, and maybe she got mixed up with times or overslept. Who knows? But anyways, we're going to go ahead and I am going to put Yolanda on the phone. Hopefully Yolanda's awake and ready to talk to us. Yolanda, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi.
We're doing good.
We're just gonna chat with our listeners and whoever calls in and tell our, you know, we'll give our guest some time. Like I said, she's 4:30 in London right now, so
right.
Hopefully nothing happened. Exactly. So Lisa is gonna come on
ringing.
Here shortly. What's that?
I said maybe she hadn't realized yet why her alarm is ringing.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Well, I told her when I scheduled her, I said, you know, it's 4:30 in the morning your time. She's like, that's okay. I'm up all night anyway. So she's probably like me, got her nights and days backwards. But, you know, maybe something came up. You never know. Hopefully everything's okay. So what's going on with you? Anything good?
Well, yeah, actually, I have just started this new, kind of, I guess you'd say, new adventure. I'm going to be writing restaurant reviews for this local magazine. And I went out Monday and interviewed a lady and ate at a restaurant. And I have a few others to do. And I'm just really getting that started. They don't really have a culinary section in this paper. And they've been, you know, this paper's been in business for like 20 years. And it's an urban paper. And they have a lot of local, you know, local politics, city, you know, stuff like that, university stuff. And the person who's the editor of this magazine, we went to high school together just 1 year, a few years back, and we got reconnected on Facebook. And he liked my food blog that I had started, and he said, hey, you know, I've been looking for something like that, so hopefully I can make that big and get people to get the restaurants to start advertising and get more, because they get a lot of requests, but they don't, you know, they're a small staff and they don't, you know, really have time to just to go out, you know, only at that convenience. So hopefully this will help extend, you know, my writing career, so to speak, and just see where that goes.
Awesome.
So that's
interesting.
yeah, it's something I do, you know, when you're a single person, and I'm out, when I'm tutoring, I'm out anyway. And a lot of times, you know, when I cook, I don't like to, I like to cook, but I don't like to cook. You know, I like to cook stuff that I can eat a couple of days, but, you know, when I'm out, sometimes in between, I say, you know, I need to get out the house, you know, and so I can be closer to where I'm going, so that way I don't have to, you know, try to stick around the house and have to do all the stuff and then, I say, well, this is something I like to do anyway. And being single, you know, you can find places to eat. Like that, this place I was going to ends up being in my neighborhood where I go. And, you know, you can sit down and have a bowl of soup for like $4 a month. It's like the awesome soup, you know, with a lot of vegetables. And, I mean, that is like a meal within itself. And that's what I started my blog about. And I put a link to it on his page. And he's like, wow, I like that. And I said, yeah, save me time and money. And then I'm already out halfway to where I'm going.
Pretty soon we'll see you traveling around the world doing restaurant reviews.
Wouldn't that be awesome? Why not?
Hey,
you know what? I would love to do that. I would love to do that, especially some of the places, you know, I see on the Food Network and some of these chefs that go to all these places. Now, I wouldn't do any of that weird stuff like trying to eat the world's biggest hamburger or stuff like that. I think for some reason I just feel that's just a little bit dangerous.
Tries a lot of weird stuff.
Yeah, and you know, like the guy who eats just anything. I'm like, no, that's not me. I said, believe it or not, look at me. I eat well, but I'm just not picky about what I put in my mouth.
Right. You know, I brought Lisa on, so Lisa's on the air with us as well. And Boyd's there. He's just in the middle of something, so he's kind of quiet right now. But
okay.
Hey, y'all, what's going on?
Welcome to the show.
Hey,
how are you? That Food Channel Network, what, Top Chefs and Chopped? I'll stay on that. And Chef, what is her name? Chef Koya, I think it is. That's my girl right there. I love when she be on there. But, yeah, that one, Diners and Drivers and Eat-Ins, that's good, too.
Yeah.
That's good, too. But you get to
Diners,
that one where...
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and then you get to the one where that boy is going to all those eating them 5 pounds hamburgers.
Yeah, that's just insane. I just cannot be good for your intestines. I'm sorry. You know, and I guess he doesn't do it often, but when you go in enough place, you know that he comes on the Travel Channel, this guy. He tries to eat anything, and they challenge him, and he even went and ate at some place where the food is so spicy that when they're making this dish, they're wearing gas masks.
Oh my gosh. That would be crazy.
And it's a restaurant in New York. I was like, no, thank you. I said, can you imagine what they're, you know, I'm like, no.
I don't think I want to eat it if you're wearing a gas mask to make it.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I would love
to go eat it. You know, Mario Batali has this place that I think even the guy that I work with, he has his wife is buyer from Macy's, and they have a place in Brooklyn, and they go to Italy, and that's Mario Batali's place. And I was like, man, I would love to go there, you know. And they said Mario, when he's in town, he's there, you know, and eat at his place. And you know, he's a hefty, you know, all the chefs are pretty hefty, and he loves to make pastas. And he even went and studied in, was it Tuscany, where they make all the rustic foods, you know, rustic Italian food.
Oh,
yeah,
no, that would be
so
my house. My bad.
Yeah.
That'd be my house.
Yeah, well, and so I said, man, I would love to go to some of those places, you know.
Right.
And I used to watch Rachel Ray's $40 a Day, but I don't think they do that anymore, where she went everywhere, you know, just about. Like, and I think that was because she got so popular, you know, with her show and everything.
I think she has a regular talk show now and then maybe does a cooking show on it or something.
Yeah, those 30-minute meals, and so I think they kind of cut that $40 a day out. But I was like, man, I could take her place.
Who is the other top chef? I can't think of her name. Is it Chef Diane, the one with the blonde spiked hair that gets and gets she be beating that other boy. But I swear to God, every show I've watched, she just come out, and it's the two of them are top chefs, and I can't think of his name either. Damn it. This is a four-show night.
I know you're talking about, because they. I think they have the one where they try to teach people how to cook.
Yes.
They take the world's worst cooks or something, yeah.
The world's worst cooks, yes, exactly.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, those two right there.
I hadn't caught her show, but I caught her her morning show that she does on Saturdays where she's cooking. And, man, she is a good cook. I'm telling you, she cooks the way I like to. I mean, she does not cut back. Well, most of them, you know, they cook well. But I hadn't caught that show. I didn't know that was still coming on where they take people and try to teach them how to cook. But do you catch Cupcake Wars?
No, I got Chef Tracy down here in ATL. That's all the cupcakes anybody needs to see.
Oh, man, Cupcake Wars is awesome. And, you know, I'm not, and, you know, believe it or not, I don't have a real sweet tooth, but just to see them get on their race to make all these cupcakes, and it's usually for a cause, you know, they're competing for whatever. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh, I never even thought about doing that with cupcakes. You know?
The one I like is Cake Boss.
Yeah.
He makes some awesome, strange cakes, but they're beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
He made a Harley Davidson one time, and he made that. I mean, for the Hell's Angels, and he made that thing looking good.
Oh yeah. And then
so you know what we need to do, Lucinda?
What's that?
What we need to do, Lucinda and Rob. Where's Rob at?
He's right here.
He's
there.
So quiet. Mm-hmm. Because now I got to walk around the house because I'm pacing.
I'm by you.
This is what we need to do. We need to teach our youth to cook.
Oh,
that's what we need
ahead.
To do. Instead of having them being out on the streets, let's get them some cooking classes. I'm going to do it in A. Once my store opens.
They need to learn how to cook and sew and change a tire and just things like that that a lot of girls don't even know how to do that they need to know
Not
how to
Not just
do.
Females.
Exactly.
Not just females.
The males need to know how
the
to take
men.
Care of themselves out there as well.
Yep, they need to know how to cook for their girls. The girls need to know how to cook for their men, their homeboys. The boys need to know how to cook for their homegirls.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, my dad taught me how to cook, believe it or not. And people think it was my like, no, Dad started me to cook. And I was 8 years old. He started me making hamburgers. And he was like, right. He started me slowly. He's like, make the patties. Show you how to make the patties. And then when you get them all made, I'm going to come back and then we'll fry them. And then eventually he stopped coming to the kitchen, I had to go, and I was like, Daddy, it's time to do that, because he wouldn't let me fry. We used to make our own French fries or whatever. He's like, no, because that's too much oil, and I was still a very short kid, and he was like, no. Then one day he was like, go ahead and do it, and I'll listen. Now, he's listening from the bedroom, and then I was like, well, Dad, I'm done. He goes, oh, you made it already? I was like, yeah. He goes, oh, I'm sorry I dozed off, but I guess that was his way of, he's like, but don't tell your mom, I'll let you make those French fries by yourself. So after that, it was, I mean, I just love cooking. Well, it's five of us kids, and my sister was the youngest, and I had three brothers. And man, I can't even remember having. The only time we had leftovers was from Sunday dinner, and then it's so funny now when they tell the story. My oldest brother telling his daughter that he used to have to cook for everybody. And I called him at midnight one night. I said, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be messy, but your daughter informed me that you used to cook for us. I told I used to help you cook. I told I used to help you cook. You know, you remember when I used to help? I'm like, yeah, I remember, sure. But anyway. But he cooks now, But yeah, I was cooking. But you're right. The lady I interviewed Monday for her taqueria, she has another restaurant. She says in the summertime, she teaches cooking classes to girls in that neighborhood, because that's in the inner city neighborhood, and she gives cooking lessons, and some of the restaurant owners there, they give cooking lessons to some of the teens. Like, I don't know how they go about doing or how it's sponsored, but they do that. That's a really good idea to get kids interested in something and to see, just being able to cook. You can take anything and make something out of it. You can take nothing and make something like our grandmothers and moms used to do, and can feed, 10, 12. Like, how in the world does she feed us? She was creative. You can take beans. All you need is maybe one neck bone or one ham hock, and you can put stuff in it, and, man, everybody eats, and you can eat the next day.
Yeah.
Right.
Yolanda, what you don't realize is I cook for 13 homeboys every day. My homeboys start texting me in the morning, ask me, Big Sis, what you cooking tonight?
For dinner.
Does it matter? Does it matter what I'm cooking? You going to come and eat it? And what are you talking about?
Yeah,
leftovers on Sundays.
Video. Yeah. I seen your menu on there. I said, oh, I'm going to get her. She's going to have to FedEx me something down here.
UPS blocked my ass. They blocked me. They said, no,
I said,
we ain't
no FedEx
no
was in it. Put a cold pack
in
there.
They, you know what? He's so silly. But for real, those boys do not be playing. I was like, hold up. They was like, you different, Lisa. You, first of all, I really, 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 like 99% of the time will not fry no food. It's either broiled, baked, grilled on the grill outside, or in the crock pot. So that's a healthy food right there. I don't play the fried food stuff too much. And then we don't do the pork over here. Can't do the pork over here because my brothers will kill me. But they like, I was cooking pork for them, and then I saw that. And then I said, no, I'm not cooking pork no more. But anyway, this is what the kids need to learn. Like, if they got more into cooking classes and even auto mechanics, come on, girls, learn how to change a drive shaft. Drop a drive shaft. Yeah, drop a drive shaft, change a transmission, rebuild a transmission. And I'm not talking about an automatic transmission. I'm talking about a manual transmission, like 5 speeds and better. Learn how to do that.
Oh, wow.
Also, like, why y'all don't know how to change your oil? Change your own oil. Why are you going to Jiffy Lube and paying them? I'm just saying, you know, there's so many things these kids could be out there learning and doing besides the streets. That's the problem.
That's true.
That is the problem
that
right now.
True.
They getting, we be, because I'm from Newark and I'm down the A. And I'm trying to teach these kids down here, like, they call this the projects. I get on this every time. Robin Lucinda about to stop having me on the show. But I get on this every time, for real, because I'm looking at them like, what are you calling this the hood for? This is Urbia. You're not from the hood. You don't understand. Your projects are condos and townhouses with no graffiti. You don't see heroin addicts nodding out on a block. You don't see the crackheads selling their food stamps when the kids ain't got no food in the house. You don't.
Mm-hmm.
You are not coming out the building stepping over dead bodies. You're not outside hearing shots every damn night. Every night and all day. My 9-year-old nephew, I don't know if y'all know, this is probably why I've been so quiet all this week, but my 9-year-old nephew, Saturday night, walked out of Auntie's building, went through the parking lot, like a little parking lot, like 10 cars if that, next door to the bodega, and got shot and killed by a 14-year-old boy. Why? Because the little boy got gun happy. He got a hold of a gun. And then he decided he was going to get trigger happy and figure out what it felt like. This little boy only went to get some chips and a juice. My nephew, that's all he did was get some chips and a juice.
Now, this was in, what city is it? That's in
Newark.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Oh, Newark was good this weekend. They only had 7 murders this weekend. Only 7.
Oh, wow.
Just in a 2-day period. Yeah, that's what I'm used to living with. And they don't understand that when I tell them. Like, you're going to end up in one of two places, in the jail or under it, and that's going to be about it.
Mm-hmm.
There's only two places, and this is why I'm so, so hard on this subject with this show. Like, this is my 4th show tonight, but it didn't matter. No matter how tired I am or what, now I'm amped up. There's midnight.
Yeah.
I'm on this show. I got to be on this show. I got to represent because people don't understand who they dealing with and what's going on in the real world. These little kids don't know. That's why they got to get told. They have to know that, look, that gun ain't going to make you anything.
Mm-hmm.
It really ain't.
Right.
The Crips, the Bloods, the Silverbacks, the Mexican gangs, they ain't going to make you anything. Yeah, you won't have that fast cash hustling. Do that. But at the end of the day, what do you got? Some jewelry? Maybe some fly car on a 22 or 24? Yeah, you got that. But at the end of the day, when the cops run down on your asses, and then your kids or your parents got to see you get arrested and put in the back of that car, and then they got to be hurt because they got to find bail money for you. Best believe your parents will let you sit there. They'll let you sit here. is going to be your grandmother. Your grandmother that's going to come out, mortgage her house, everything she got to get her grandbaby out of jail, whether you're guilty or not. But when the time comes and you go to court, grandma can't do nothing when the judge sentences you. You're gone. If you didn't get retaliated on in the streets before you go to court. Because then you're going to become a snitch. You're going to get into jail. They're going to scare you so bad. You're going to be a snitch. You're going to get stitches and become somebody's bitches in the jail. Straight up, listen up. And you know I know what I'm talking about. Tony know what I'm talking about. Yolanda, you know what I'm talking about. I don't play that game no more. Everybody knows I was blood. I'll be a blood all day, every day. But guess what? Back in the day, the OGs to the streets did not just go out and shoot people for no damn reason. Rabbis, drive-bys, all that. This ain't McDonald's or Wendy's. You don't do that. These kids are really off the hook. Off the hook. Like, you just don't do it. And like I said, I get calls every day from Newark. Every day. Oh, God, you don't even know how many calls I get a day. This one got shot. Or I'm getting the calls, and I got to call up north to my brothers and let them know. Love you, Sal. Love you, Haas. Love you, Mooney. I got to call up there and tell them, did you hear about this one? They're like, nah, sis, how the hell do you know? I'm getting the calls down here in the A from Newark, and I'm calling you up there to tell you what's going on in your own hood. Stay your asses in the house, please. Just like my brother Sal. My brother Sal last year, he was sitting in a barber shop. He had called me because me and my brothers, we always check in by midnight. If we don't check in by midnight, something's wrong. We all check in with each other. It's just a golden rule with us. And I will never forget, I was on a show, and I started getting inbox messages from my cousin, Sharonda. She's like, call home immediately now. I was like, I'm on the show. She's like, okay, call me as soon as you get done. I said, I'll be off at 12. I know what time is checking. She said, no, really check in, call me. I was like, okay. So I get off my show, I call my cousin, and she's like, I have to tell you something. Who's with you? I said, the homeboys is outside. Why? Lisa, you need to sit down. I said, what is wrong? Who got locked up? That was the first thing I'm thinking, who's got locked up? Like, we got bail money on the block. I ain't worried about nobody getting locked up. They getting out. They was like, no, Lisa, listen to me. I said, what? And they said, it's Sal. I said, what about my fave? What are you talking to me about my fave? What's wrong? He locked up. I got him. She was like, no, he got shot. What? I absolutely lost my mind. He and I had talked to him at 4 o'clock, no lie. And he said, sis, I'm leaving the gym. I'm going to get my shape up. I'll check in at 12. I heard. Okay? So now I'm like, what the hell? He was sitting in the damn barber chair in the barber shop on South 10th Street. And somebody just came in and opened fire because they had a beef with the owner. Didn't only shoot my brother got shot in both his legs. Thank God he's walking because we can't lose that South swagger. But the lady got there was another dude in there, and she was doing his hair. She got shot in the chest. He got shot in both his arms. Why?
Wow.
Why? Well, welcome to Newark.
Wow.
So I go through it all the time.
These kids, they don't understand that, you know, by holding a gun don't make you no man, don't make you no gangster, don't make you none of that. This is make you a straight fool because you're out here killing your own kind and you're killing your own people, you know. And ain't getting no education out of it, ain't getting nothing that's going to benefit you in life. You're getting a penitentiary cell in a graveyard.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing how many kids really think that, you know, and how many kids really have guns.
Guns. I'm not sure because, you know, I don't know, but I'm thinking a lot of it too. They have so much access to the recreational drugs, because every time somebody comes up to me, I was never in the drug culture, but you know, somebody came posted on Facebook, oh, this new drug, they're thinking about outlawing it, even though it's not illegal, something called
spice,
bath salts, something like that. It's this, this artificial.
Oh, and it's legal. And it's legal. You wanna? Yes.
Yeah, and people are, you know, doing things, doing the self mutilation thing, and this, that, and the other. I said, you know, addiction is really, really part of what's going on in with the violence too. That a lot of kids, because I have a friend who friended me of another friend, 25, well, just made 25. And he just came out of prison, last year, and I said, you have a mom and dad, yeah, at home, yes. So let me ask you something. When did you start using drugs? 14. I said, they didn't know, didn't try to put you in rehab. They tried, and then he didn't learn until he ended up doing 3 hard years, okay? And I was thinking, and everybody he knows was, I said, well, how did you start doing the drugs? He said, well, there's always some kid or whatever. And these people, you know, they live in suburbs, not projects, you know, and it's always started with some kid, and then everybody's doing drugs or whatever, then the stealing and all that goes along with it. But it's not too many people that I've met or run across or acquaintanceships that they didn't start with the drug use, you know, and if they're either easily, you know, that they can get drugs. And I said, well, you never think about it until, you know, when you go to Walgreens and the Sudafed and all that's behind the counter. I'm like, what is that? What are you asking me for my ID for? And I remember the spray paint, because I'm a crafter, and when I used to craft, I'm like, what do I have to show you my ID for craft paint for? And, you know, and I just, you know, you just don't think about it. And, you know, I said, next thing you know, you know, you can't even buy a bottle of Febreze without having to show your birth certificate. Because the people who are, they know the whoever's, I don't know, you can't say it's a who or it's a culture or a collective consciousness, that they know the power of addiction. When they get somebody addicted, they can control them. They can get them to do anything to feed that addiction.
Right.
You know, and I know you've been a nurse, Lucinda, you know firsthand as well. Because I would tell people when I would go to the emergency room when I had asthma attacks, and the doctor keep coming back asking me, you sure you're not on any drugs? And I'm like, I'm about to get offended. I said, look, I told you I was a teacher. I teach school. Why do you keep asking me am I on drugs? And he said, well, ma'am, the doctor just told me, he said, ma'am, you wouldn't be surprised who's on drugs. It's that you're rare that we don't, other than your medications, you're rare. He said, you would be surprised who's on drugs. He said,
you'd be surprised on some of the different overdoses. I get, I transport so many kids that are overdosed on Benadryl.
Yeah.
And that literally makes them freak out. You know, they don't know what they're doing.
And NyQuil, the parents be giving those kids a NyQuil to put them to sleep so they can go do what they want to do.
Because I didn't even know Houston, you know, was supposed to be, when I started hearing about these rappers like DJ Screw or somebody that was very popular here, and they said, well, they think he did all this. I'm like, what are they talking about, syrup? I was like, why is Houston known for syrup? We don't have a lot of pancake houses. You know, that's my mom. And the kids in my, I was teaching, they said, Miss Pope, you don't know what the syrup is? I'm like, no, what's the syrup? And
syrup,
I heard about my friend. About some, the syrup with the codeine, and then they said like people were selling it in cups. I said, you have got to be kidding me, selling out of their house in cups.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, you're kidding me. They're like, no, you didn't know about the syrup. I said, I didn't know what they were talking about. I thought they were talking about, because you know, a lot of people here are a little bit thick, you know, because we eat well. And there are a few pancake houses, but, you know, I'm like, we're not known for pancakes. So why did you call it Houston syrup? And I was like, oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
I was like,
names. Yolanda, they got code names for everything. Like, you just there. You just be sitting there.
Well, listen to this one. Kids go to parties and...
Uh-huh.
Everybody brings all the pills they can find out of mom and dad's medicine cabinets, and they put it all in a bowl, and then kids take handfuls and just take whatever.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then
they had
OD
five
and...
or six kids brought into one ER one night because they were all at a party taking pills, and several of them ended up on the ventilator. These kids don't realize that some of these medications will knock out your respiratory drive.
Sure will.
You know, you know, I mean, gosh, if you're a well person, you don't need to take any meds, and if you're a sick person, there's a lot of meds you still don't need to take. You know.
Yeah.
Some of the side effects are worse than the cure. But these kids out here, you know, I don't know what they're thinking, you know, if they're invincible or what, but, you know, they're doing a lot of crazy things.
Mm-hmm.
Messing with medicines and drugs and you know, mixing drinks and just different stuff that's terrible.
Yeah, and, you know, like I said, I guess I just never really had an interest in that. I knew kids who did, and I just didn't get it. I'm like, so why are you, you know, I would ask them, so why are you doing it? I'm like, oh, nothing. We're just playing, you know, and no one ever tried to push any on me or anything, and I guess because I was so jovial, people thought I was high anyway when I wasn't, and I was like, no, you just could not be that crazy. You must be. I was like, no, I'm like, that's just, you know, my state of mind or whatever, you know, I was found anything to laugh at or whatever. I just didn't, you know, still don't have a clue. You know, I'm thinking, you know, who sits at home and thinks, well, let's see, there's Benadryl, you know, Clorox, let's make a new thing, you know. And
make some crap.
You have to know your chemistry to figure out, well, let's just do this and mix this up When I saw about meth, I had no idea what that was. The A&E did this special. This couple, they were using, because Iowa was, I guess there's so much land and farms and whatnot that a lot of people who weren't farming, they started with having labs and everything, and they had these farm ladies that were on. You remember Donnie Deutsch? Used to come on Channel Deutsch or whatever his name used to come on Channel 45. He's a publicist or whatever. He had these ladies on there, and they were just talking about, well, yeah, you know, I was a cooker, and I'm like, you know, and it took me about 20 minutes. I'm
like what were they cooking?
Right. Why would you go to jail for cooking? I don't know. You can't cook. They lived on the farm. They couldn't cook. And then somebody said, well, you know, people that come, you know, most people who do this, they lose their teeth. They said, I noticed you didn't lose. I was like, oh, drugs. I'm like, oh, my gosh. And they're like,
well,
this big
to have a meth lab, you just need an empty car. You can do it in the trunk of a car. You can do it in a storage shed. You can do
Lucinda, let me talk about that meth lab. Because let me tell you something. Me and little Beetle, Bam's son, was sitting here one day, and it was like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And we heard this explosion. I mean, the whole bottom of my house rattled. I'm like, what the hell? I was like, I know we ain't getting a storm. We ain't got no snow coming. I'm looking outside, looking for anything that's going on. No, nothing. So I'm like, okay. So later on that night, it was like at 3 o'clock. Let me not lie, because it was 4:30, because the baby came in from school at 4:21 every day. So it was probably about 4:30 that we heard it. So I put on the 6 o'clock news. They talking about these three little kids were, the house caught on fire. And I'm literally talking about the next block over. The house caught on fire, and these three babies, 6, 4, and 1, were killed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hold up. Why was these kids killed? What the hell is going on? They was killed in a fire. Okay, so I go back to Beetle, was on the computer at the time. So I went back. I said, Beetle, do you know anything? He said, nah, Titi, I don't know. Like, you brought it up to me when we heard it, like, rumble. I said, okay. Come to find out, 2 days later, they was living in a meth house. The meth lab was in the basement, and it blew up, and then babies got killed for no reason.
You know, and the fumes from all that is so strong, you know, and to have kids in an environment that you're going to do something like that is child abuse, because it's, you know, you're getting high off the fumes, and it's terrible.
Yeah, and I saw this couple that you were talking about making in the car. They were carrying some, and they had this lady, and I guess she must have had nerve damage from them, because when they were talking to her, she couldn't stop moving when she was talking. And she said, well, I'm just lucky to be. I'm lucky to be here. She's moving all over. And they said, well, what happened? She said, oh, me and my husband were backing out, and we had made something. And then when he hit the gas or something, the car blew up. They got both of them out. He died. He said, but she was so, she had inhaled so much or whatever. When they had an emergency room, she was off gassing the fumes. And a couple of the people in ER that passed out, that were working on her, and they still managed to save her. But, I mean, you can tell she has nerve damage, and I'm pretty sure brain damage, because she couldn't stop moving. And she was standing there smiling, and, of course, all her teeth were gone. And she said, yeah, we used to do it here, and we would make it here. And they said, you never think of it, because they were using what do they do with fertilizer? I don't get what they do with fertilizer. It was something about with the fertilizer.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
That's their mulch.
Oh.
That's their mulch.
They were doing something. But anyway, I just couldn't believe it. My mouth was open. I was like, wow. Because there was something called Meth Wars, and they won that. They said this has been going on since maybe late 90s, mid 90s, when they start knowing about it. I mean, everybody, I guess, in these little rural areas that had farms, I guess that's what took them a while to catch on, because they were so far away from everything that they can just do it, and, you know, no one is passing by like they pass by on the streets, and you're not
right.
Close to someone when you're cooking or whatever, so no one, you know, really would know unless they went over there and saw what you were doing.
Right, and it has a strong odor, so that would make people notice if you were, you know, if you were in a close. It
right.
Still doesn't stop doing it, but
right. Wow.
I was watching a clip. I don't know if it was a video that I was looking up on the internet, or if it was the news recently or what, but it was about meth, and you know, the cops go in all, you know, with their headgear and their masks, and, you know, they're all gowned up, they're taped up, you know, they don't let any of these fumes get to their bodies whatsoever, and yet they're going into these scenes and they're taking out little children, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Arresting the parents and stuff, but they're taking little children out of these scenes where, you know, the hazmat crews won't even dare go in there without, you know, gloves, clothes, mask, gown, you know, head drapery, whatever they call it, the gas masks, you know, yet these little kids are living in those conditions.
And I'm sure they have to get some kind of brain damage from who knows how long they've been sitting there, and just every day. Wow, that's just very disturbing.
Okay, who are the ones that live, because I know what you're talking about, and I can't think of the name, the ones that live in the cultures that they ain't got no electric, no gas, no cars, no nothing, they ride in horses. That's it.
The Amish.
Yeah, that's it, the Amish. I knew I started with an A, but yeah. That's a lot of the thing there, too, that people don't understand. Yeah, they're all quiet and good, and they, you know, that's where a lot of that stuff is being done.
Could
or
be.
Or Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. You never know, but I know one thing about what I've seen of those, what you can say about people who work the land and work with their hands. You know, they're extremely creative, because wasn't it the Amish person who came up with these heaters? That built the heaters, and they were giving them away.
You know,
that people
they would
use.
Have to be creative, because they have nothing else to
yes.
do.
Yeah, but isn't that something that just to show what
other
you
than,
to really
other
show
than,
what right what you have in you, and they have
right.
they don't have anything considered what we considered modern or fast or everything that the craftsmanship even you've heard of the Shakers, right, Lucinda? The Shakers and the Shaker furniture. Now, if you get a you know,
yes.
it's like.
The furniture, they made wood furniture, right?
Yeah, furniture, and they were known for their baskets and seats. It was all about being, I guess, just showing your reverence or for God and your respect for God and nature, that you did everything the best of your ability. And, you know, it really had a purpose behind it. And they made this wonderful furniture. And if you can get your hands on any of it. I mean, it is just very, very expensive. When I watched the Antique Roadshow and watched a few shows about the Shakers and their whole movement, I was just amazed at some of the things they did, and people who still have Shaker furniture, rocking chairs and whatnot, people are buying
them. You know
what,
Yolanda?
Uh-huh.
Sorry. That just reminds me of, though, how it is in prison, because you'd be amazed at some of the beautiful things that prisoners make in prison
out of things
you would never imagine.
Right.
You know, crucifixes and
mm-hmm.
gosh, I you know, I just couldn't tell you all the things that they make out of, you know, gum wrappers and just,
mm-hmm.
the, you know, the only things that they have, and they become so creative that they actually make
right.
things that you can use for things.
Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
can you
but
imagine
Lucinda,
when you're out
Lucinda,
here,
go
you
to
do?
The other side of it. Go to the other side of it. They make shanks out of toothbrushes.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I mean, all types of stuff they make.
Yeah.
And then they be killing each other in the jail. So,
yeah.
you know, I got to have true controversy with all this stuff.
Definitely creative, though.
creative ain't the word.
Is, but, you know, and the point, if you could take your creativity and just think of the problems you could solve if people would use what they have, if we all get to that place of less is more. Like, I do my best not to live with half two of everything or two, you know, try to have all the gadgets and this, because it makes your brain lazy in a sense sometimes. But it's mm-hmm. when you have to do things when you just like working on your own. When you work on your own, you get very creative. You're very smart. You find
mm-hmm.
you find all your talents. You know, that one of the best things I did for myself is when I separated from my job of 14 years, a very comfortable job at a bank. I wasn't high up, but I had a paycheck every 2 weeks, insurance. And I tell you, when I cut that off, because I felt, you know, I felt like that wasn't me and that wasn't all of me, which it wasn't. And when the more that I looked and, you know, had to do things, okay, well, I need a job. Well, I can do this and that. And the more I learned and the more I want, you know, learned and did, the more I found out I could do. And I was like, wow. You know, and now I'm to the place where, you know, I don't have to take a job if I don't want to. And I was like, just
right.
think if you know, and that's not comfortable at all. You know,
right.
it's not comfortable and it's not safe. But I don't know. For me, it's better because I'm not comfortable in that sense where my brain is so lazy and that I don't have the codependence I did, just waiting for somebody to feed me. And control me and tell me what to do, think, and you know, and even the opinions I used to have, I don't even share anymore, thank goodness. You know, just by being in a certain mindset. But one thing I did take away from that is that, you know, I did like money. When I really got into investing and learned about investing, I mean, that is just an amazing thing. And when you follow people like Warren Buffett and people that are still making money in Wall Street, they're not doing crazy stuff and follow, and they don't follow everybody. You know, it's really being simple and using your own intuition, you know, and investing in what you like, what you believe in or whatever, but, you know, it's not that hard to do, you know, if you're willing to do the work or willing to separate or take the risk, more or less. That's what I'm trying
right.
to say.
Okay, but Yolanda, you also got to realize, you have to realize us out here as females. Sorry, Tony, sit yourself somewhere. But they really got to understand, like, us as females, we have to hold it down 110. We have to do what's right for us and our family. My brothers taught me early in the game, don't let no man validate you. Do it yourself. That's
mm-hmm.
why my nails is done every week. Every 2 weeks, my bad. That's
right.
why my house is filled with food. That's why my bills are paid. The first thing I do is I get up and I pay my bills when my unemployment check comes. Now, my unemployment just ran out. I maxed out after 99 weeks. So this is why I'm into a whole different other level with other projects going on that I'm doing. But people don't understand that. You don't have to be a street pharmacist.
Mm-mm.
Right.
Okay, I am
That's
so tired.
Right.
I'm so tired of it. Because back in the day, I'm sorry, like, I was born in 66. I'm about to be 45. But I'm sorry, back in the day, the only thing we had to worry about was weed and speed. That was it. All
mm-hmm.
this other stuff out there in the streets, these kids don't understand. They don't understand. And then they get in the streets, they get turned out, they start hustling, they end up in the jail, they get shot, whatever happens, is always something. But at the end of the day, why you just couldn't make some legal money? Like, go get you a job at McDonald's. I respect a man. I swear to God, I will respect a man that has a job at McDonald's before I respect a man that's a street pharmacist.
Right.
Yeah. Well, of course.
Where Rob at? I know he got something to say. Rob?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Okay, well, let's get a man's point of view, because I know you're sick of me talking.
No, I'm listening, you know?
Yeah.
Taking care of business as usual. I'll be loving it.
You know, I think if you know, that like a lot of things that need to be taught, you know, from preschool or kindergarten on, this is one of them. And, obviously if you... You know, if it's taught from a young age, maybe young girls wouldn't think that they needed a boyfriend. They wouldn't think that, you know, that they, you know, need a man necessarily. Of course, you know, you want a partner, you want to have a marriage, you want to have a boyfriend, whatever. But to know and to grow up thinking that, you know, I need to be first, concerned with myself and taking care of myself and getting my education and getting this and that, you know, it would just be so much nicer, and a lot of girls would probably stay out of a lot of trouble. But, you know, like, you know, we were, you know, when we were young, we thought, oh, you're going to grow up, you're going to get married, you're going to be a mom, you're going to take care of your kids, you're going to, you know, I remember in high school one time arguing with my algebra teacher, you know, I'm not ever going to need to know algebra, I'm just going to be a mom, what are you talking about? I'm going to get married and have kids, I'm not going to go to college, and that was just like totally the wrong way of thinking, because when I went to college, I'm like, where the hell was I in high school? Why didn't I learn this in high school? I should have known this, you know, stuff in psychology and sociology. I'm like, where was I in high school? What did I not pay attention? Was I not there? You know, there was just so much that I didn't realize I didn't know until I went back to college. And, you know, and then wanting to learn at that point, I think high school is kind of something that you had to get through. But college was like, oh, my gosh, why didn't I know this? Or I remember hearing something about it, but I didn't pay attention. So, you know, and college, I loved it. I was just so, I just loved it. You know, I learned so much and I grew so much and, you know, it was just unbelievable.
You know, it's funny you said about college, the college thing, because I got married on my 19th birthday. My 19th birthday, my baby girl, Princess, she came along on my 21st. Almost my 21st birthday, and I was with her dad, and I got to tell you, he's a great, you know, he was a great husband. I can't disrespect him, but he didn't want me to go to college. I wanted to go to college. So my brothers was like, go to college. So it ended up being me working full. I actually left him and divorced him, and actually went to college, raised her full-time. And me and her, and I worked full-time, too. Worked full-time, raised her, and actually went to college. And they was like, Lise, do what you got to do. Me and that baby, I would pick her up from school. I would come home, cook something real quick, or grab fast food. You already know what that time of the, time of the year was. And then me and her would go home and do homework together. Homework together. And she says, Mommy, she says, that's one thing I could say about you. She said, you always made sure I did my homework. That little girl is now in her externship from college.
Right.
Her externship. And she's like, Mommy, people don't even know. You hood as hell. You from Newark, but they don't even know what you got. Yeah. What I got is a master's from finance from Princeton University. I got a bachelor's from Rutgers in accounting, and I got a dual associate's from Rutgers. I mean, not from Rutgers, from Raritan Valley Community College in business management and business law.
Wow.
And I did that all by myself with no student loans, no nothing. Didn't get no child support, no nothing. And this is something else I'm going to scream about. These little girls got to stop trying to get pregnant by their men thinking they going to get a child support check. Because guess what? At the end of the day, either one of three things going to happen. You going to be on Maury. Or the second thing is, they is going to be like, okay, well, they messing around behind your back. Because trust me, my homeboy's got six baby mamas, 12 kids running around the streets. and five side pieces. You know what I'm saying? But what they don't realize is when they get in that child support check, I swear to God, you have no idea how many little bitches down here I want to choke the hell up. Because they 14, 15, and 16, and 17 with 2, 3, and 4 kids, they're getting their nails and hair done, and the kids run around looking like Raggedy Ann and Andy. What the hell kind of shit is that?
Right. They don't, the money's for the baby, and to be honest, child support is really not enough to I mean, you can't live on it. Definitely.
No.
It's just like part-time extra income, but that income needs to go for baby food and diapers and daycare and things that the kids really need.
Lucinda, you ain't never lied. For real. They need to take care of the kids with that money, not themselves.
Right.
Like, look, pay your
own. You want to get your nails and pedicure and all that stuff. You need to go get a job and take care of that.
For real.
Right.
But
work for what you want. Be proud. Be proud that you can work for it and that you can say, I am so happy that I have the money to drive in my car down to this, you know, salon and get my nails done and get my pedicure and then go get my hair done and this and that. And be proud to say that I did it on my own with my money that I earned.
Right.
I swear.
More people need to be, you know, be self-sufficient and to be proud that they are.
You know, it's funny because my homeboys, all of them, chipped in money for Valentine's Day. This is my homeboys and bought me a gift certificate for $300 to my favorite salon for me to get my nails done. That's what they did for me for Valentine's Day. They was like, Lise, what? We got to give you something because you always doing everything for everybody and you always keep it fresh. Like, just where was I today, Lucinda? At the salon getting the nails and feet done. But I'd just be like, I'd be looking at them like, you all didn't have to do that. They was like, no, we wanted to. That was the first time, I cannot lie to you, that was the first time anybody ever paid for me to get my nails and hair done. I was like, but I could do it by myself. They was like, well, maybe this time.
That's a nice gift, though,
you.
because it does cost money to get a pedicure and get your nails done and get your hair done. And, I mean, it does cost quite a bit of money. And depending on what what you do with your hair, you just, you know, get it dyed or you go get, you know, weaves and extensions or you get, you know, whatever. But it does cost a lot of money.
$50 for a fill, cut, and all that stuff. $50 every 2 weeks. And, you know, Lucinda, we got the white hair.
Yep.
We got the white hair, so we don't got to get the weave, the extension, and all that. I couldn't even imagine, like, all my homegirls and stuff, like, what they go through. Like, we was at a place one day, and my homegirl, she stopped in, and she was like, how much y'all charge for micro braids? They was like $120. I looked at her, and I said, you better go get your ass a perm. Right, like that. And then I
don't even know
then,
what that is. I am never
what's
weaved
micro braids?
And wove and glued or none of that junk. I don't even know what that is. It is a waste. I don't know. It's to each his own. But, you know, there are people that are entertainers or whatnot, or people with thin hair, that they do have, extensions for Caucasian hair or whatnot. But, you know, that's a choice. You don't have to get that, you know, or anybody. But, you know, a lot of people I see, they go and buy hair and all that. And I'm just like, I don't know. That just was never my thing, and I'm glad. I have never had any interest in that. I mean, you know, that's just personal choice. But still,
Yolanda, it's funny because my homeboys will come and they pet my head like I'm a dog. I'm like, what are you doing? It's like it's so soft and it's real. I said, get off my hair. Get off my hair.
Yeah, you know, and everybody's hair is not the same. I don't have to perm my hair every 2 weeks, every 3 weeks. I could probably go a year and not get a perm if I didn't want to, but I just have to wash it more and it's very soft. But, I mean, you know, that's still a choice regardless, you know.
Right. And so many people nowadays, it just seems kind of like it's the thing to do nowadays, I guess, you know, to get extensions or to get, you know, weaves or, a lot of people just buy different wigs and wear different wigs, you know, and that's, you know, if you can afford it, you know, the more power to you. But for those of you that are, you know, that are, you know, taking care of yourselves and not your kids first, you know, you need to rethink that. I mean, if you're working out,
I want to ask Yolanda. Yolanda, mm-hmm. I got to ask you something. Do you know how I had to educate people about perms? The white perm makes your hair curly. The black perm straightens it out.
Right.
Yeah, that's why they call it relaxer. It says permanent relaxer, and the one for Caucasian or different kinds of hair says permanent set or permanent whatever, but for black hair and coarser hair, it says on that relaxer.
Relaxer, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they don't be paying no attention. They be like, Lisa, why don't you get a perm? And they be giving me, a box. I'm like, what
this
the hell?
Girl.
I'm like, y'all. Y'all
from Indonesia, talking about hair, she loves cats, and you know, in a lot of the countries they're Muslim, they don't keep animal cats in the house. And she's from Indonesia, and she was, and I had this annual of cats, so we could have, you know, so we can read and talk about the cats or whatever, and have a discussion. And there was this one cat. There's a rag doll. There's another kind of cat, American Bob Wine and Curl. And she looks. She goes, Miss Yolanda, this looks like your hair. And I go, Aaliyah, does my hair look that bad? She goes, no, not that bad, but, you know, it's curly and sometimes, you know, and tight, but not that wiry. I was like, well, thank you, Aaliyah, comparing my hair to the cat's hair. She goes,
well, at least she didn't
nice
call you nappy, Yolanda.
But the cat hair, like, mop, it was wavy, but it wasn't, you know, but then the bob wire, it the hair looked real wiry. I said, does my hair look like that? She goes, no, not that bad, but, you know, the curl. Okay. I said, oh, okay. I was getting ready to say, I need to do my hair then. She goes, no, but I like it because it's like your hair. I was like, oh, you're too funny, Aaliyah. Mm-hmm. I would never look at a cat's hair and think of my hair. But these are like exotic. I said, and definitely not the mop. I was like, that looks bad. She goes, no, not the mop. It was it was another kind of cat that had a curly, had wavy hair, and then the bob wire, and the hair was just kind of like all over. And I was like, oh no, Aaliyah, I don't think my hair looks like that. She goes, no, not like that, just curly. I was like, oh, okay, I got you. But
and
I just
and
that
did,
was
what
so
happened to the
funny
baby? Did the baby have to go get a switch after talking about that?
No, but you know they, you know, in their country, there are no black people, I think, living in Indonesia. If there are, they're very few, and, you know, few and far between. So, you know, it's just what her eyes see. It was no big deal. But you know, you just don't ever think about people, what people notice, and especially kids, you know. You just never know what they notice. I just thought it was so funny. I said, let me just look back and look at some of these styles and see if I can style my hair like a cat. I said, you think I look good as a cat?
Like a cat.
Come on, her. Yeah, with 27 nieces and nephews that are Muslim, trust me, I know, because all my brothers is Muslim and my hubby's Muslim. So, yeah, with all that going on, yeah, they call it out. They don't even think twice. They just be like, look at your hair. It's a hot mess. And they be talking to each other, and I'm looking at them like, why are you picking on your mama? Why are you picking on your daddy? What is you doing? They be like, Titi, can they get your hair? I be just sitting there like, oh, God, here, let me go in the other room. They're crazy. They is crazy. Where is Mr. Tony? Is he so damn quiet? Boyd, where you at?
I'm right here listening to you ladies. You know, get the show on the road.
Ask
you know?
How many kids do you have?
I have four kids.
Four kids. Mm-hmm. Now they're college, married, or high schooled, or
they are all out on their own.
She threw them out when they got 18. I'm just saying, like maybe.
No, but they are all out on their own. Two of them have significant others and babies and. And then the other two are just working.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah. And we went through the whole drug thing as they grew up. You know, I fought with every one of them out in this. And we live in a small community out here in Arizona, but it's a rural area. And it is one of the biggest areas for drugs. But, you know, we fought with alcohol and drugs, you know, with all my kids.
Oh, wow.
You know, right now I can say as you know, they've gotten through all that everything is, you know, better and stuff, but it's still a struggle for them to be able to say no and, you know, to stay away and choose the right friends and stuff. But definitely, you know, it was a nightmare at times.
Oh, I can imagine. Yeah, I have a friend who said he was sober 7 years, and he said every day, he said it's a struggle to get up and not take a drink.
Right. Yeah, that's an addiction. You have to be strong and have the willpower to say no, whether you know you want it or not. You have to know what's best for you.
Right.
Okay, well, y'all know I'm functional after 5 o'clock. I call it out to myself. I know I'm a functional alcoholic after 5 o'clock. I got my beer. I'm on these shows. I'm grinding with all my authors until, 5, 6, 7 in the morning. Everybody knows that about me. And I'm cooking and doing that. But I'm like this. I'm like, okay, what I'm doing is legal, and I can still function. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, there's some days where I sit there like, damn, why am I even going to get a beer? I get mad at myself because when I was locked up, I didn't have no beer. When I came home, I didn't have no beer. But I want to touch something with this, with the kids, because I did something that, you know, my oldest daughter, all her friends used to come to my house, all of them. Oh, my God. My house would be packed every weekend because they knew, first of all, Mama Lisa was cooking on the weekends. They was getting waking up to every kind of breakfast food they could get. But it was funny because these kids knew they can come to my house, go in the basement, and drink. They can go in the house, go downstairs and drink, smoke the weed. That was all they was allowed to do down there because, you know, I was going down those steps. But they was safe from the streets. And this is what, like, and you know, not one of those parents even worried about where their kids was. But guess what? When they walked in my door, I had a basket on the table. They knew to throw their car keys in that basket, and it was getting locked in my bedroom. Because once you start, you ain't leaving the crib. You ain't leaving the crib. And I had to do that, and I was probably wrong. And, no, I definitely was wrong. But back in that day, I wasn't wrong because I was worried about what was going to get put in their weed and what the hell they was going to be doing on the street. And this was in White Urbia. I'm not lying to you. This was in Manville, New Jersey.
A lot of people do that, you know.
And I did it for the kids because I wanted them to be safe. And do you know all those kids are still friends with me on Facebook and call me Mommy? They all call me Mommy. And, like, I mean, I've done some crazy, crazy stuff. And I look at these kids now like they're in college, they're doing this, they're doing that. And they're like, we have to respect you, Lisa, because, Mommy, you held us down, not our own parents. You let us do what we wanted to do at 15, 16, 17, 18 years old, but we were safe when we was at your house. Yeah, it was. And, you know, it kills me that if the parents, okay, maybe I shouldn't have been so much of a friend instead of a parent. But at the same time, I look at those parents like, what the hell did you do for your kids? What the hell did you do for your kids? They was at my crib. They was safe. They was getting fed. They was getting this. They was getting that. They could take showers. Where was y'all parents? And this is a problem because these kids are a product of our environment. So
Well, you know, you're probably one of the lucky ones, though, but there's a lot of kids that and parents that do exactly what you did, and you know, but the parents are down partying with the kids, and the kids, you know, end up becoming, you know, alcoholics and druggies and stuff because that's all they do. So I mean, in your case, your daughter and her friends went on and went to college, and they probably, you know, don't even party that much anymore. It's just probably a phase they went through or something. But there's a lot of them that just become, you know. And having the kids together like that, you know, they get drunk and then they start fights and they, you know, it's just, you know. And then I guess if you're a parent and you're telling your child that, you know, it's not good to drink. We don't want you to drink and smoke and do all these things. You know, a lot of kids are going to do it anyways. I know that already because I was one of them. But it's still, if that's what I believed, and then I sat here and let you drink a beer in front of me as a teenager, you know, that would be not, it would be calling myself
hypocrite.
Hypocrite. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So, I
but
mean,
it was a thing. Like, I would be upstairs because everybody knows I don't smoke weed. I don't do drugs. Like, I just don't even be bothered. You can't even, look, I smoke cigarettes and ain't nobody smoking in my house. I don't even smoke in my own house. But I look at it like this. Back then in the day, you're talking, like I said, 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, 18 years ago. When these kids were just coming out and they didn't have nowhere to go, it was either they was going to be at my crib and be safe or they was going to be out in the streets smoking stuff they didn't know what was put in it.
Right.
They was going to be drinking, getting arrested, all this. And it was a small, like, no lie, two-mile square town. And them kids didn't know what to do. They didn't have programs like we do after school or like we're trying to get after school.
Mm-hmm.
These kids were all white, didn't have nowhere to go, and their parents weren't worried about them. They really weren't. And that to this day, like, I regret to a point doing it, but at the same time, I'm proud that I did it because otherwise I don't know where these kids will be. I don't know where these kids will be right now. And it's a shame because if their parents would have took the time to find out what the kids was doing, and not one of those parents would ask these kids, I'd be like, every time they walked in, does your mom and dad know where you at? No. Do you want to call them? No. Why? They don't care. That's exactly the response I got from every one of those kids. They don't care. You care about us. That's sad. Why? Oh, parents need to listen to their children, not just hear them, and stop telling them they should be seen and not heard, because, no, they need to be heard.
Right.
They need to be heard, for real.
Mm-hmm. You can't help them if you can't at least listen to them, talk to them, find out what's going on in their lives.
Right.
I mean, me and my daughter talked about everything. Some things I wish she didn't tell me. But it's like, I'm just like, no, I didn't want to hear about your sex life tonight. You know what I'm saying? But
exactly.
Now she's grown. She's grown, you know what I mean? But when I look back, I'm glad
she knew she could
come to me.
Exactly. And nowadays, too, with, you know, all the STDs and stuff, kids...
Mm-hmm.
Teenagers need to be able to talk to their parents about it, and they need to know the alternatives and what they can use for protection if they are going to go out and have sex. You know,
mm-hmm.
and parents can say, it's not that, you know, I don't want you to do it at this age and this and that, but, you know, kids are going to do what they want to do, period. And so
mm-hmm.
you have to let them have the safest alternatives available and let them be educated about what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take them for the pill. I'll get them for some condoms. I'll do whatever I have to do for the kids because,
right.
Trust and believe, after seeing my cousin Toronto die from AIDS, and that's
mm.
the one who's the nephew that got killed this weekend. She
mm.
died from
right.
AIDS. Her husband, after 11 years, and this girl never cheated on nobody, he cheated on her, gave her it, and he's
mm.
still walking around. So now...
That's terrible.
Wait, and then a month later to the day, because Mama Queenie couldn't handle what happened to her daughter, she died from a stroke a month to the day. So now I got all the kids, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Till her brother came from the West Coast and got the kids. But I had temporary custody. That's why I was so, like, shut down this weekend, because this little boy did not deserve to die. His mother didn't deserve to die. His grandmother wouldn't have died. Had not all
right.
this going on. Because and this girl, Toronto, never cheated on her man. 11 years. And I can tell you that about my cousin. 11 years. Never. Never.
Wow. That's...
And that's the stuff that's out there. You, like you said, the STDs, the AIDS, the HIV, all this. And I found, you know, I had to do my research with Toronto because I found out you can have HIV and give it to everybody in the world and
right.
not have it. Not have none
of
this. Can be
a carrier for years. And yeah,
mm-hmm.
you talked about that on your show last week.
Yep. That's crazy. That is crazy, Lucinda, for real. Like, what that? These kids don't realize that. And then all these babies is running raw to raw between back and forth of all these other girls and all these other men. Mm-hmm. They just sticking and moving in you, for real. They're not
mm-hmm.
trying to be with you. They
right.
And you know what they hear? They hear that love word. Oh,
mm-hmm.
God.
Yeah.
Man, please.
Yeah,
and then, you know me, I'd be just like, you a jump-off, bitch. Keep it moving.
That's why I
and
say they need to teach these kids from kindergarten on. They need to teach them how to, you know, control your feelings, your emotions, know what's going to be happening with your bodies. You know, they need to be taught all these things. And, you know, years ago when we were in junior high, oh, we're going to take this letter home to your parents, and if they sign it, you can come to the sex education class that's once
mm-hmm.
a year or something like that, you know. But that
eighth grade,
is not,
eighth
that,
grade sex
yeah.
education, you're right.
But, you know, it needs to be something that they're taught from kindergarten on because they need to understand their bodies. They need to know what they're going to be feeling, why they're feeling this feeling or having that
mm-hmm.
thought, and they need to be able to control themselves so that when they're 12, 13, 14, they can become hopefully self-sufficient and trust in themselves
mm-hmm.
and believe in themselves and not think that they have to have somebody else or depend on somebody else, whether it's sexually, monetarily, or
mm-hmm.
or anything. They need to be able to just understand what is going on with them.
Oh, but they don't. They don't. That's
I know
the whole
they don't.
Problem. And like you said, kindergarten, you better go before that and go into preschool. Because when my six-year-old, the baby, baby girl Maya, she came home at 6 years old. She said, Ma, I said, what's up, babes? She said, you know, I'm thinking about something. I said, oh, God, child, what you thinking about? She said, an embryo, a fetus, a zygote, and I'm looking at this child at 6 years old. I said, hold up, we're going to Aunt Geraldine's house. So we went down to the projects. I brought her in front of Aunt Geraldine. I said, ask the baby something. She said, what's up, Maya? I said, Maya, tell Geraldine what you just told me at the house. And she told her embryo, zygote. And I'm sitting at her like, hold up, I got to look these words up in the dictionary. Like she educated me at 6 years old.
If they're teaching the six-year-olds about zygotes, they should be able to teach them about a penis.
Mm-hmm.
Because the penis and the vagina is what got that zygote together. But they're not telling
mm-hmm.
the kids all that. They're teaching them other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And zygote is not even a word that people talk, you know, say. I mean, there's so many people that probably never even heard that word before. But that's what,
mm-hmm.
You know, when you're first pregnant, that first, I don't know, week or month or whatever, it's called a zygote, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the people, you know, for abortion and against abortion use that term a lot, you know. It's
mm-hmm.
just, but it's something that so many people wouldn't even know, much less a six-year-old.
Mm-hmm. When
That's
she turned seven, when she turned seven, this little child came to me talking about, I want to be a neurologist. Can you spell it? Like, I'm just sitting there. Like, I really had to sit back and look at this baby like, can you spell it? And she did. So I called Sal.
That's cool.
I said, hold up. Your niece got something to tell you she want to be when she grow up. And that
mm-hmm.
baby right there, she will be that. I trust and believe on everything I love. That baby will be a neurologist. She is not playing. Because then when she spells it, I'm like, well, what is a neurologist? A brain surgeon, Mom, what is wrong with you? Don't you pick up the encyclopedia? But you have to understand, this baby, from day one, I guess from all my studying and her always being up under books with me, this little girl, we went to Disney World one time. Both my girls, oh, Lord, please. We went to Disney World every year for 7 years. But this little girl, we're loading the bags into the limo to go to the airport in Newark. I'm like, Maya, what are you and Tammy having in these duffel bags? They just both looked at me. Now, you got to understand, my girls are 13 years apart. 13 years apart. So I'm looking at them both. I'm like, what you got? They was like, encyclopedias, mommy. What is wrong with you? It might rain. Oh, Lord. Yeah, they brought encyclopedias to Disney World. What kids do that? But that's my babies. Got to stand proud on it.
Yeah, and you just got to continually, too, yes, you know, reinforce that so that they do always want to, you know, continue their goals and dreams and stuff. Reinforce it to them that you can do anything you want to do. You just got to get out there and do it.
Right.
Exactly, but if more parents get involved with our kids' lives, like we have to, and it's not even a have to, it's a should want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because we give birth. I'm not
it's
even talking about the men.
It's a should already be doing.
Okay, I'm not even talking about the men because we could live without them, for real. For real, we could live without them. But when it comes to our girls, our sons, our nephews, our nieces, like be in that child's life. Know what they're going through. Talk to them every day. And this is the problem. I am so, like, no lie, I had this little boy call me. He called me on my text phone when he heard about me on the domestic violence show. And his grandma called in and was like, well, my daughter getting abused. My nephew came, her grandson, my bad, came to her and said, I don't know how to get out. I don't want to see mommy get abused no more. So she called into my show, and she's telling me this, and I'm like, what? She was like, yeah, he went to his mama and said, I don't want to see this no more. I want to go live with my grandma. And the woman told him, oh, you don't love me no more? You're not mama's baby no more? Okay, when he shoot and kill the motherfucker that is hurting you and ends up in jail for life, how much did he love his mama? Will that be really better for him?
Mm-hmm.
So when his grandmother heard me talk on the show, and I don't know where she came from. She just came on my show. She saw it posted. She called me the next day, and do you know I talk to that little boy every day, and he's now living with his grandma.
Wow.
Yep, he had to get out, so I made sure it happened.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Rob? can we get a male opinion for a second here? You got me and Londa Lucinda over here going, like, talking about everything, and where are you at?
I'm right here.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody here listening to the ladies. Yeah, I mean, put it down tonight, you know?
Yeah.
But the ladies are all putting it down.
Yeah, everything you're saying is all accurate.
We ain't worried about what you're doing after the show, putting it down. We're talking about right now.
Oh, ain't no doubt, you know? Yeah.
What's he doing, feeding his face, Lucinda?
Actually, he's in Cincinnati. He had to go tie up
Oh, so Rob, is you in Cincinnati feeding your face on the phone?
No, I'm really working while I'm talking.
You don't know how to work while you're talking. Lucinda, he thinks he's your husband or something. No way he is. But like he can multitask like the rest of us. For real. Bring it.
That's
yeah. He'll be back home Friday.
I can't wait for him.
What's that?
No, I had seen on your page one day, so when you're what hospital do you work at a hospital or
I'm a critical care registered nurse and I work on an ambulance here in Arizona. And what I do, the ambulance is a mobile intensive care unit, and
mm-hmm.
We'll transport patients from hospital to hospital, from doctor's offices to hospital. We transport
mm-hmm.
a lot of babies, a lot of patients on ventilators and IV drips and cardiac issues and traumas, head
mm-hmm.
bleed. It could be anything, but
mm-hmm.
that's what we do. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
My background is cardiac. I worked for 7 years out here at one of the hospitals on the telemetry unit, which is cardiac.
Mm-hmm.
And there I went to the ambulance, and I've been there for 7 years. So, you know, if we happen to roll up on a car accident or something, we, you know, jump out and do what we do. But
mm-hmm.
other than that, you know, it's a lot of transporting from facility to facility. And I have
mm-hmm.
a paramedic in the back with me, and then my EMT drives.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I work 2 24-hour shifts every week. So,
So if you don't see her on the show, that's where she is.
Well, you know, and too, also you would you know, have there firsthand on scene to be able to explain to these kids what happens to you, you know, when you're partying. This is what it looks like when I'm picking you up off from wherever or transporting
right.
you. This is what happens to you. I mean, when you speak to them, do they listen to you, or are you able to capture their attention with that, or have you ever, you know, been,
you know,
I
have talked to some young kids that I've transported. I've tried, you know, I just kind of question them sometimes about, you know, how are
mm-hmm.
things at school? Do kids drink, smoke, and are there gangs in your
mm-hmm.
school? Things like that. But, you know, sometimes they're sick and they don't even want to talk. And like I said, the older kids, the one I, you know, transported, you know, the
mm-hmm.
ones that are overdosed, you can't talk to, and the ones that are intubated, you can't
right.
talk to. You know, and there's times where I just want to take a picture of this intubated kid to have, but, you know, I respect their privacy, and I don't do things
right.
like that. But,
right.
you know, it's just, yeah, you know, you look at the parents of the child there, and they're just devastated, you know, that could even happen to their child, you know, and it's just, it's a tough situation, and it's, you know, not really a time to sit there and talk to them about what's going on, because
no,
we're busy.
I mean,
transferring equipment and different things like that. But I sure
yeah.
wish that I could, you know, tell this young child that's intubated because she took some pills at a party that she didn't know what they were, you know, what were you thinking? What, didn't you listen
mm-hmm.
to what your parents told you? I'm sure they told you not to take drugs from other people. Or I'm sure they told you this or that, you know, and what were you thinking? Why did you let your friends influence you, or, you know, whatever. And there's sometimes I just sit there and go, oh my gosh, you know?
Yeah,
and then,
I mean, not the ones, the ones that are there. I mean, but the kids, I mean, now, of course not with the ones that are there, because they're already there, so there's nothing you can say you're trying to save them. But, I mean, when you're not at work, and I don't know how many engagements you do with Rob, or when you go to school and talk to kids and say, hey, I'm a nurse, this is what happens when you OD or get into the mixed bowl at the party.
Right.
This is what starts to happen. That's what I mean. Or you, when you go to those type facilities or schools or wherever you speak, and
right.
share that with
yeah.
kids. I mean, do they really look and listen like, oh my God, you know, this is what happened.
You know,
to
the
you.
last school that Rob mm-hmm. and I talked at, and we're getting more into, you know, kind of sharing the spotlight and to be able to tell the kids different situations. But
mm-hmm.
The last school, I kind of got up and talked a little bit before Rob did, and I asked the kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and these were fourth, fifth, and sixth graders. How many
mm-hmm.
of you have heard of marijuana? Well, all the kids. Yeah, you know, everybody's heard about it. How many of
mm-hmm.
you heard about heroin? You know, and then about half the hands. You know, and it's just, you know, we do. We talk to them. We tell them, you know, what's right and wrong and what can happen. And it's just amazing how young the kids are that know about all these things.
Mhm. And then because your experience, you're like, I'm not telling you what I heard, and I'm not telling you from somebody that's telling you that, you know, be good, don't be bad. This is my job. And when somebody calls me and say we have this, when I go pick mm-hmm. up someone that's been to a party, this is what I mean. You know, you can describe
right.
what they look like. They're not breathing.
Right.
They can't tell me their name. You
right.
know. You know. And then when they, if they do get saved, their brain may be permanently damaged, you know.
Right. Or if they
depends.
Live, you know, if they get put
yeah.
on a ventilator in time because they're not breathing, you know, if your friends don't
mm-hmm.
know enough that you're laying there on a
mm-hmm.
couch, they think you're drunk or something, but you're really
mm-hmm.
not breathing, you know. You know,
right.
you got to be careful.
Exactly.
And there's so many kids, you know, and just like you see on the movies, they'll drive somebody to the ER and leave them right there by the door, or take them in and leave because they don't want to be involved, or they don't want anybody to know they were there, or, you know, if they make it out, if they make it alive. But they're real issues that real kids, you know, go through and do. And one thing that makes me angry is the raves that they have. You know, because the raves, the whole intention of having the rave is for the kids to be on the ecstasy, to have the lights and the music and everything, you know, so much more astounding, or so much more, you know, the ecstasy makes you see everything differently and hear it and feel it differently. But, you know, they're legal. And everybody knows that the kids that are there, most of them are using ecstasy. It's being sold there, given there somehow or another. And yet all these things, these raves are still legal. At least in Arizona they are. So, you know, that's one thing that needs to be changed. Stop the raves, because that's where all the kids are going to use acid, ecstasy, you know, LSD, all that.
Right. Because I remember listening when I was talking about this show, and I saw Robert Shapiro, the person, you know, one of those people who had defended O.J., and I didn't know he was speaking after his son had died. His son had been in rehab several times, I think, for alcohol or drugs or both, but he had started to drink again, and see, these friends did not tell him, the girlfriend, that, you know, they kept it a secret. When he had gone to a party where he had OD'd, and he was, they said he was projectile vomiting, like quite a few times. And instead of them taking him to the ER or whatever, they let him go home and lay down. And when he did, he had gone into a coma, whatever happened. I can't remember which order it did. But had they, you know, just put so much trying to be, you see your friend is in trouble, even if you're just, they were supposedly just drinking, or I don't know what it is that they had. And they might have been able to save him before he went into that state, and I think he had brain damage and he passed away. But, you know, Robert Shapiro, there he was. Here he is, an educated man, and his son was doing well at college, doing well, got good grades, had started, and his girlfriend or somebody, when you love somebody, that's another thing. You have to love them enough to, they can be angry at you, but they can be alive and be angry at you, you know. Know that he had slipped back. And when you're an addictive personality, you can't have, I can have a glass of wine. Me would be a half a glass with water, you know, but and I'll be okay. But a person who is addicted, see, the wine triggers, you know, well, I'll smoke something, I'll take something. See, that's the addictive, the insanity of the addiction. You know, you have to love that person enough to say, well, he can't drink like I can't drink just because I love him, I'm going to keep his secret. No. We're going back to rehab.
Hey, y'all. Let me interrupt for a minute. I got to get off this phone because it's about to start storming. The thundering and lightning is coming. I'm on the house phone. So I'll be on the computer with y'all in the chat room.
Okay. We've only got a little bit longer. We don't have too much more time.
Okay.
But,
well, I love y'all.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks.
I'll talk to you later.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
See y'all on Facebook.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye. But what I was going to say about that, too, is that, you know, the alcohol and drugs have no barrier, whether you're, you know, educated or not. You know, it's still an addiction. And I was going to tell you something else now, and I lost my train of thought. the kids need to realize that they can have alcohol poisoning from drinking. And, you know, whether it's, you know, playing quarters and you're just, you know, drinking down the beer, or you could be playing it with other shots, or, you know, the kids nowadays are drinking, you know, pints and quarts of Jaeger and mixed, you know, with Red Bull. So that right there, just if you drink two or three Red Bull, your heart's going to be pumping, you know, pumping away. So, you know, there's just so many dangers to over drinking to where, you know, not to mention if you're out afterwards driving or, you know, doing anything like that. But definitely, you know, these kids need to realize that the alcohol can cause poisoning and overdose, and you can die. You know, there's a lot of kids that get into the hospitals because they're just so unconscious.
And I don't know if you've seen this video. I don't know where it came from. Speaking of children, Lisa was talking about too, Lisa, and smaller kids. A lady on my friend on my Facebook page put a this video, and I don't know if she got it from you because it didn't say YouTube, and I'm not sure that it was somebody was had these two little girls looked like they were in their bathing suits or something, and they were dancing like these exotic dancers, you know, with their butts shaking and all that.
Mm-hmm.
These girls couldn't be more than 3 or 4 years old, and the
wow.
mothers going up and down the stairs cheering and all this. And I'm thinking, you put this, you know, and I wrote her, I said, hello. She goes, this is just a shame. This is a shame. I'm like, hello, CPS. Because I didn't see it came from, why are you showing it? You, somebody
mm-hmm.
would get, you know, if I had access, you know, CPS, that's where I'm going with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, what in the world, you know, and then to make a video of a little girl, I mean, it was just very lewd.
Right.
And you can tell the little girl, and, you know, and they were outside. And there was a crowd around them, at least two little girls, you know, behaving, moving, gyrating in that manner. And it was so lewd. And I'm like, instead of, you know, going back and forth, somebody's ashamed, I said, well, how about CPS? Is anybody home? You know.
So, you know, people are funny about the things that they put on Facebook, too. You know, some people just put any and everything.
Yeah.
And that's not good. That's not healthy.
No, that's
and
not
a lot
good.
Of times,
that,
I mean, people get themselves in trouble. I mean, you know, there's
yeah.
people that will get themselves in trouble with the law by the things they put on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Believe me, the law is out there looking at everything everybody's
yeah,
putting on
hello.
Every one of these websites. So
yeah.
if you don't want to get in trouble, don't do it and don't put it on Facebook.
Right. I got a friend who... knowing what his situation was, I don't know who these people are. And I said, and he knows it. Like I said, he's been there. There's nothing you and I can tell him. I mean, been there and took a picture with a weapon. And, you
mm-hmm.
know, and all these likes. I said, I think you need to delete your page, delete that picture, delete anything, and restart. I said, do you know what that can do to you?
Right.
I said, you know, I said, even if it's just your hand, your name is on that picture.
Right.
And I said, are you insane? You going right back up to get to wearing that they don't wear jumpers. They wear the. I said, you must want to be in all white again. You know they're coming to get you. I said, are
well.
You,
yeah, that's for sure.
I heard
don't
here it's like
mean,
automatic, right, if they have weapons, it's automatic. 5 years, no questions asked if they get caught with a weapon. If you already have what's the federal, what they call it, the felony? I guess
uh-huh.
whatever felony he had. I think here in Texas, if you get caught with a weapon, they slap five, they just give you that 5-year vacation right away.
Right. That's yeah, if you're already an offender.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I've heard that. Rob, what do you know about that?
What happened?
Never mind.
The
drug laws. What do you know about the drug laws for people that are out on probation or parole? If you get caught with a weapon, how many years do you automatically get?
Oh, I mean, that depends on the city or the county you're in.
Okay. Yeah, she was saying where she's at, it's 5.
Yeah, every state is different on their laws, you know. That's why when you're out here doing wrong, you got to know the laws in that state.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So you definitely got to know what you're going to be looking at yourself.
Right.
Better be prepared if you're going to do the damage or do the crime.
Mm-hmm.
You better be able to pay the time or know your consequences if you get caught.
Right. I mean, and I said, look, I said, I'm not a rocket scientist, and I've never been down there, but I said, but I have sense enough to know that's the last thing you need to have attached with your name. It said, even says photo by with your whole name on it, not a, you know, whatever. I said, that's you and all the pictures of you on there. I said, you don't know if your PO is looking.
Right. Oh, they're looking.
You know? Yeah.
Believe me, they're looking.
I
yeah,
said,
I mean,
whoever,
unless you totally use a different name and all that, but they still somehow or another seem to find you.
Right.
And they look at your friends.
I,
they look through everybody's to find other
right.
people, you know.
And they can tag. I said, do you know anybody can tag a photo from your
mm-hmm.
album? they can right-click, save it, or tag it, and mm-hmm. it says photo via whoever, so it even mm-hmm. shows where they got the photo. I said, you need to know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, the kids need to know out here now, too, that there's a lot of gangs online. Mm-hmm. You know, they actually have their own websites. They try to recruit online, mm-hmm. you know, just like the pedophiles and the men try to, mm-hmm. you know, get online and talk to the young girls. I mean, it's
right.
Parents need to watch their kids while they're on the computers. They need to know what they're looking at, who they're talking to, and too bad if you don't like it, my child, but I'm the boss in this house, you know. And there's
right.
just too many things on Facebook or just the internet in general. You know, you don't know who's at the other end. You don't know
right.
how old they are. I mean, you're only going by what they're typing in and what they're saying
mm-hmm.
online. You haven't seen them. You haven't heard them. You don't know them. You know, even as adults, we don't know who we're chatting with on the other end if we've
That's
never met
right.
them. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, even adults have to be very, very careful of who they're communicating with and what they're saying on there.
Mm-hmm. Right. And even with kids, the only kids that are on my Facebook friends are kids that I know them and I know their parents.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but, you know, and then any time they talk to me on Facebook, whenever I see the parent, I always call them and say, you know, he told me this on Facebook today. He talked to me on Facebook today.
Mm-hmm.
I always just let them know. And if I send a message, like the kids I used to teach that are back in Indonesia, well, I'm friends with the parents, too. So whenever I write a message to one, you know, I always tag the parents,
mm-hmm.
you know, and there, too, send a message to everybody, you know. And
yeah.
Living by myself, I said, you just never know.
Exactly.
Because I don't even let kids in my townhome if I don't know them.
Right,
and,
right.
They said, can we? And I'm like, no, you can't come in. I said, where do you live? You know, because we have a small community and most of the neighbors are very friendly. I said,
mm-hmm.
well, let me go meet your mom first, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I always, you know, I said, I don't do any stuff like that. Even when, you know, tutoring kids or teaching kids, when I was in school.
Do it in a public place. Make sure there's somebody
right.
that can say they saw you
right.
there. Yeah, too many people are crazy, and too many people, I mean,
yeah.
even kids say things that are not true to hurt somebody,
yeah.
you know, and then it brings
oh,
up a
course.
Whole big, I mean, it really damages people's reputations and lives.
Right.
I mean, especially
right.
if it's not true. If it is true, good,
right.
you know, but,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, they're, but, you know, they just need to be more aware of what's going on out there.
Absolutely.
Rob.
Yes, I'm here.
A couple more minutes. Do you have any last words, last announcements, so we can close the show?
Yeah, I just want to thank Ms. Yolanda and Jim for being on the show tonight, and Lisa for always tuning in. And, you know, maybe I guess realized that it wasn't the right time, so we'll look forward to hearing from her again. But just want to let everybody know to join the movement and order them books, The Streets Don't Love You Back and Never Hit a Woman, at www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.com. And also, for a limited time only, we have two of my father's books that's ready to be sold right now. And one
oh,
of them
wow.
is called The Power of the Mind and
oh, wow.
Science Healed and Delivered, you know, for a
mm-hmm.
limited time only. We have copies of my father's two of his works, The Power of the Mind and Science Healed and Delivered. So you can
mm-hmm.
get them copies as well. So you can email us and let us know what's happening.
Oh, okay. And so where do you get those, where do you get your father's books now? Where are those being sold?
You can just send me a money order, Ms. Yolanda. You know, we got two of them. One is The Power of the Mind and Science Field Delivered. The Science Field Delivered book is one of my father's books of famous people from all walks of life who he's
mm-hmm.
met, you know? Yeah. That book is about, and The Power of the Mind is just about, you know, people are getting their mind tight, you know.
Mhm.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, they
well,
hadn't
I'm
been on sale for years, but now that Rob has mm-hmm. them, or you know, so what he has.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll shoot you a message about it, and because this one, I will definitely like to link one of them. The Power of a Mind sounds very interesting,
right.
Because you know that reminds me of I don't know if he's going there. You know, as a man thinketh, and
that's a good book.
Yeah, and you know, you can go to asamanthinketh.net and get the free. Victor Hansen is giving that book away free, and you know that's
right.
really something. If that's where he's going with the show, people that people don't realize that their divinity is not outside of them; it's in them. But once you change your perspective and the way you're thinking, that's what changes your world. The world doesn't change because it just
right.
happened to change. It changes
right.
because
you
when you get a new thought.
Mind. Thinking,
right.
Yeah, all of it.
Yeah.
Right. So
okay.
What you do is just email me on Facebook
okay.
or email my wife, and like I say, whichever one you want, you can just send
okay.
The $25 money order to our address, our P.O. box in Arizona.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'll
yeah.
do that.
I'll get that right out to you. You know, you want
oh,
the
yeah.
power of the mind.
Yeah, the power of the mind. I'm really interested in that one.
Okay. What I do, I leave going home Friday, so I'll mail it out to you first thing tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, and I'll get that in the mail to you.
Yeah.
And I'll keep
your life. Send me on Facebook, and then I'll send you our address, our P.O. box.
Oh, okay, yeah, do that. Okay.
Okay, and
all right.
We appreciate you, Ms. Yolanda, once again, and you can say your last words and things on there.
Okay. Yeah, I'm really interested in that, and just you know, for gosh, all those years, you think 66 were and so many lives
mm-hmm.
he touched, you know,
yeah.
And
yeah.
and that a lot of the
yeah,
wisdom, mm-hmm,
yeah.
and the
yeah.
wisdom that he held and shared.
Oh, yeah.
You know, wisdom is not wisdom
right.
when you until you share it, and
right. yeah, he's
just
a very smart man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was a very smart man. That could never be took away from him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know. Yeah,
yep.
That's something I could never say bad about my father, you know what I mean? He was a very talented man. He was a very gifted man.
Mm-hmm.
And he met many, many people around the world, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he had his own broadcast for 42 years, you know. So,
wow.
You can't get it no better than that. I mean, TV
no.
and radio. So you can't touch it no heavier than that. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's all good, man. You know what I'm saying? And now, you know, like I said, Junior's going to, you know, take care of his little business. And the book that I got on my father's that's ready to roll, you know, we getting rid of them right out the door, you know what I mean? Because my father's message as well can help many people as well, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. So Junior, you know, definitely going to share the spotlight with Pops, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and just thinking now, you know, just think that so many people that probably never would have read his book, but through you, so now, you know, that's really just so idyllic of passing the torch to someone. Now you got the tools. He didn't left you the tools, and you can go to anywhere and share that wisdom, you know, your
right.
own experience and wisdom, and then hear from someone who's in the clergy who touched lives, oh gosh, over, you know, world with presidents,
right.
and you say Dr. King and so
man.
On.
Mm-hmm.
The list is long. I can't even...
Yeah.
You feel me? That's
right.
Why I say to be honest with you though, Miss Yolanda, the Power of the Mind book is a good book, but if you really, really wanted to know about my father's history, the signs shared in the liver book will give you from front to back of many, many people he's done that around the world.
you know, and wow. that they sign autographs and pictures, you feel me?
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
From O.J. Simpson, from we were just talking about that lawyer that died. What's his name?
Oh, you talking Johnny Cochran?
Johnny Cochran.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Ronald Reagan. I mean, the list.
Or even the other one. Pardon me, may I have your autograph, please? That one is, has more, even more.
Right.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
You know, yeah, he was just, you know, I mean, just like I said, you know, I could never say nothing bad about my father, you know what I mean? You know, when it comes to his legacy and when it comes to
mm-hmm.
what he's done, you know what I mean? Because that is
mm-hmm.
that is in stone. And I told my mother, I see where I get a lot of things from when I always had told people that I did not want to leave this world without having something to show for my living and existence, you feel me? And
mm-hmm.
that's when I really started getting into my writing and things like that, because I've always did that. But then
mm-hmm.
when my missus, you know what I mean, locked down strong, you know, she helped take it to a whole nother level, you know.
Oh, yeah.
As far as, you know, refurbishing my book, The Streets Don't Love You Back, you know, because
mm-hmm.
people had messed my book up. And then
mm-hmm.
we added more information about a lot of my homeboys that I didn't want to talk about, but I did it anyway because I knew it was not only shed light on life, but shed light on some of these youngsters out here that's trying to be with you. You know, it's already been lived, and everybody done failed at that task, homeboy. So you ain't doing nothing new. It's not a new game. It's just new players. That's all it be, homeboy.
Right.
The game is the same. It's just new players jump on the court, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's when I really started doing
mm-hmm.
things far on the level that I'm on now and being on the internet and stuff. But, I mean, I was, before me and the missus locked down strong, I wasn't even on no internet like that. You know what I mean? I was just on there every now and then. I just had people doing that for me. My buddy
mm-hmm.
LB. You know, I was too busy concentrating on other things. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
But now, you know, I concentrate heavy on life, and I concentrate on our movement, and
mm-hmm.
I concentrate on the legacy that I want to leave here. You feel me? Because it's more to life than just, you know, running the streets, and I'm glad I done been there and did that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's about education, and it's about showing people that if you can do it, I can do it too. You know what I mean? That's the bottom line at the end of the day, to show somebody that this can be done the right way, you know?
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah,
right.
So that's exactly what it is. I can't thank God enough because my father did, he left a roadmap for me. For
mm-hmm.
real, you know? I mean, you know, I look at it for what it really is. You know, I just could be bigger.
Right, you got the national treasure there.
Yeah, the picture is bigger than what people can even imagine. You feel me?
Uh-huh.
The roadmap that he done left me as far as being a writer and all of that, I mean, it's just straight to the gate because he was so detailed and he kept everything. You feel me?
Yeah.
I mean, he kept every library, every museum his works is in. And what I did when I ran across that, I showed my wife, I said, look, Pop got all this. So I just started sending press releases out to all these different libraries and museums. So, I mean, it's like, don't think I'm not, you know, putting what's been left in effect. You feel what I'm saying? Because the
mm-hmm.
roadmap is here, and I'm going to walk the red carpet. You feel me?
There you go.
That's and
wonderful.
That's real talk.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't never dispute what he done built.
Mm-hmm.
No,
absolutely.
That's like trying to pull a teeth without no pliers. You feel me? You can't dispute what the man done built now.
No.
You know, you'd be a fool trying
mm-hmm.
to dispute what's in your face.
Right.
Yeah,
you have better luck arguing with a wall, you know? It's just pointless.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's wonderful.
So, yeah,
that's
I'm
wonderful.
Very, I'm very content in my life as far as, you know, now that my father rested in peace, and now, you know, I done realized, you know, that, wow, you know, probably off all of this, you know what I mean, and like a roadmap to all of it. He didn't leave nothing like, well, you don't understand nothing. He wrote down everything. You hear me? I mean, from the 50s to the 60s to the 70s, you know what I mean? My father still had bills he paid in the 50s. Damn, he paid this on this date. I talked to so-and-so at the place, and their name was so-and-so, so-and-so. So he was detailed like that. You hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. He you're going to know what he said, what the other people said, and all of that. You're going to have a long letter to read before you decide either you're going to tear it up or keep it. You feel me? I've been tearing down trunks and all of this for the last month.
Oh, my goodness,
Yeah,
I did that with my grandmother. My grandmother was a meticulous record keeper, but I was so happy she did, especially with pictures and stuff.
Right, me too, because nobody couldn't cheat me out of nothing, because he got it right here in black and white. Where is it at? You know?
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. It ain't like he just left it, you know, without no writing on it. You know what I mean?
Yes, indeed.
No way but up. There's nowhere but up, really, you know what I mean? I'm taking all the knowledge that, you know, I sat down with my father with, too, you know what I mean? I had a chance to sit down with my father for a whole year, 7 days a week, for a whole year. I learned a whole lot from him, you feel me?
That's wonderful.
And I started putting it in effect then, you feel me? Then the missus, you know what I mean, just came and took it to a whole nother page. So, God knew what I needed, and he knew the type of woman I needed. So, you know, you know, I didn't need no meaning back or nobody just trying to, you know what I mean, be there. You know, we tell my son, it's solid, you feel me? Yeah, created
absolutely.
On this mistake, and I'm loving
not
it.
Not at all.
We done built the empire, and it ain't even done yet. You feel me? It's just the beginning.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah, that's real talk.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I learned a lot about my father, Joe Yolanda, that I didn't even know because, you know, you got to realize, you know, I wasn't really around my father that much when I was young, you know? Into his thing, as you see, you know, he was doing what he do for sure. He left a man. He definitely left a roadmap to success, and that's one of the name of his books, Roadmap to Success.
That is awesome.
And yeah, also, you know, we're gonna be selling Pop Left. I think, you know, it's about 30 or 40 VHS tapes, Pop Left, you know what I mean, with him doing one of his broadcasts on his TV show. And that was for his 41st birthday, you know.
He was
with the councilwoman, Irma Henderson, and they was giving him his award in Detroit, you know. Yeah, on his TV show.
Is that when he got the Spirit of Detroit Award?
Right, yeah. I messed around and found that and found 50 of them tapes. I think it's about 50 of them VHS tapes in there. Yeah, we're selling them too. You know what I mean?
I don't know if anybody has a VHS recorder or player anymore.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? I found one of them too. Yeah. I found one of them too, brand new. Had never been open.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's very detailed, man, about his life, you know, and I respect that, you know, because I'm like that.
Yeah.
You know,
and, you know, you can pick those VHSs and get them converted to DVDs.
Yeah.
I think Walgreens converts them over, too.
Yeah.
They send them out. You have them done. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but I got like almost 50 VHS tapes that's like, you know, he had made up with his picture on it and all of that. That's classic.
Right.
Yeah.
That's classic. You know,
do you have cassettes too? And some
Yeah, I mean, I got all his broadcasting from the 50s to when he got sick in the 2000.
Mhm.
Yeah, them all on cassettes. You feel me?
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
Yeah. So you know, I mean, I just ain't really sat down, you know, but there's a whole lot of stuff that I just gotta put together. You know what I mean? That he left. But,
well, everything takes time, babe. You just take your time and do what you need to do, but, you know, you can't do it all overnight.
Mm-hmm.
Not with his stuff. Now, you see, I sent you a picture of that Stores bin. Not with his stuff. You ain't going to do nothing overnight.
So I said, just be glad it was a storage bin and not a whole big house full of stuff, because you'd be there for months and years probably.
Right. Well, yeah, well, I'm glad they did all of that ahead of time on that. You feel me? Yeah,
right.
Yeah, God is good, though. You know what I mean? Mr. Rondon, it's like...
Absolutely.
I'm just overwhelmed sometimes just to, you know, like, wow, that's my father. You know what I mean? I mean, it just tripping me out sometimes just to, damn, you know, Pop was a hell of a guy, you know? And I got pictures of my father... I mean, original pictures of my father when he was like 16, 17 years old when he started his ministry. You feel me?
Oh, wow. That is wonderful.
Yeah, and I'm going to be doing a book about my father, too. You know what I mean? It's going to be a dedication book to Pops. You know what I mean? It's going to be pictures from him, like I said, when he was 16, 17, 18, 19, 22, all the way until he passed. I ain't found a picture of my father on his 70th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
With his big cake. I'm bringing that pizza home. But yeah, because he never, every year of his life, he always gave himself a birthday party, his church did.
That's wonderful.
Yeah,
that
it still was rolling. Yeah, he was rolling all the way until he passed. You feel me? After he couldn't get around, you know, my sister would give him his birthday party at this place, you know? So, yeah, he had his birthday party every year all his life, for sure.
Yeah, and he has had a zeal for life, and he loved life, and he knew, you know, if I'm in it, I'm going to enjoy it, live it. Wow. I mean, you talking about, and what you have in your hands is somebody who lived life to the fullest, that he didn't take anything for granted.
Oh, no. No mystery about that.
Mm-hmm.
That's real talk, yeah. So, yeah. It's on and popping, though, you know, I tell you that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right,
Can't do it overnight.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. So, I just thank everybody once again for tuning in tonight. And we done did our thing, and we did the show like we always do with our two favorite main girls. You feel me? Lisa
and right.
Jolanda. They don't let us down. They hold us down.
<That's right>.
Yeah, already.
And next week we have a guest named Denise Jones, and she was born and raised in a drug-infested environment on Chicago's West Side. The oldest of seven siblings, she was reared up by her grandparents in a sweet but bitter home. By the time she was five, she'd been molested by several family members. She began shooting heroin at age 12. And initiating a cycle of crime and addiction that lasted for 14 years. Then in 1986, she met her Lord Jesus Christ, and he gave her a second chance at life, and then she rewrote her destiny. She changed her lifestyle and connected with positive people. She was able to overcome all the adversities that were controlling her life. And so for the last 24 years, she's been clean and sober. And after years of using drugs, she made a cognitive decision to turn her life around and do something positive for herself. She wrote a book called Who Said It Couldn't Be Done? And she'll be joining us next Wednesday night. So everybody join us and hear her story.
All right.
And we're a little over time anyway, so we're going to go ahead and close out tonight. We thank everyone for listening, and thank Yolanda and Lisa for sharing tonight's show with us. And we'll have to find out what happened to our guest. Hopefully everything is okay, and we'll try to get her back on at another time. Until then, everybody remember, the streets don't love you back, and we'll meet you back here next Wednesday night. Everybody have a great week.
Okay, you too. And have a happy Easter.
Oh, happy Easter. That's right. Everybody have a safe and happy Easter. All right. We are going to close out. Let me find the right page I need to be on. Well, maybe not. Maybe we won't close with a song. Maybe we'll just go out. I lost my page. Okay, everybody, we'll have a great night, and we'll meet you here next week.
All right. Have a good one. Take care, Miss.
Okay. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.